Not got anything against blue, though. It's fine. We can go with this. Okay. Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. Lovely to see so many friends and family of Dave and Hayley here this morning. And I'm Mary Jane, and I'm going to be just sharing with us this morning during our service. As Gareth said earlier this morning, I'm going to be continuing. And this is like the final in our little series. As a church, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. We've been learning a bit more about who the Holy Spirit is, and we've been, on a bit of a journey. And this morning, which is great timing, it is like we planned it, that on Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to bring the last. Now, I say the last, this is the last of kind of our set of four that I've been looking at, and I'm hoping at some point we will come again to look at a little bit more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that's something that I'd love us to look at as a church. So that will be coming, a little taste of what's to come at some point. But this morning, I just want to share a bit about the Holy Spirit. But before I do that, I want to just pray for this time now and over the words that I'm going to share. So Father God, just want to commit this time to you. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you choose to speak to us. And Father, I just pray now for the words that I'm going to share. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just anoint. I pray that your Holy Spirit will just help us each to listen, to hear. And God, that you will speak to each one of us in the way you want to speak to us today. Amen. Amen. So it is Pentecost Sunday. And so we are going to look at that passage. So Pentecost Sunday is, of course, the moment when we remember in Acts chapter 2, that account where the believers are all gathered together. I'm not going to read the whole account. I'm going to summarize this bit and then pick it up later on. So at the beginning of Acts 2, we get the account. The Holy Spirit comes and it describes as roaring like a windstorm. The house is filled and that they are all filled with the Holy Spirit and what looks like tongues of fire are on their heads. And then they all start speaking different languages. And then those around of understanding the language that they're speaking and they're hearing about God. There is this amazing moment, isn't there? But I would like us today to then pick up just after that moment. So we're going to look at, if you've got Bibles, you can open up at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to pick up from verse 14. It is going to come on the screen as well. Brilliant. Thanks, Caleb. And I want us to look at this bit. So the Holy Spirit has come, fallen upon the believers. All of this has happened, and then we get this. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen." Do you know, Peter here is, he's preaching to the masses. This is a long passage, but do you know, I've been sat here this morning going, do I read it all? Do I not read it all? I'm just going to keep going. So bear with me, because I want to read these words. This is Peter just speaking out to the people that have gathered. So I'm going to keep going. Keep with me. Keep following. He says, "Listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. King David said this about him, "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. That's pretty cool, isn't it? What powerful words. It then says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter tells them what to do, to repent, to turn to God. It says also at verse 40, then Peter continued preaching for a long time. I wonder how long. That was quite a lengthy preach already, wasn't it, of those words we've read. And then right at the end, verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. That was quite a lot that I read. I read it for a reason, because today we think about Pentecost Sunday, but I want us to think about this part of the story, Peter's proclamation, Peter's preach that he gives. And I want to start right at the beginning. If we go back to that verse 14, and actually the NIV version, I'm going to read this. It said right at the start, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. I love those three things in that translation. He stood up, he raised his voice, he addressed the crowd. Do you know, this is Peter. Now, for him to do this is incredible, okay? Because Peter, if we think back a bit, just over what, 7 weeks ago, just before Jesus died, we read of Peter denying Jesus, don't we? We get this account where we hear of him, Jesus is before, Caiaphas, the high priest, and Peter's outside and he's in the courtyard, isn't he? And in with these few little people, he's questioned, isn't he? They're like, "You were with him, weren't you? You were one of those followers." He's questioned. "Hang on a minute, your accent sounds like him. You were one of them. You were with him." And three different times, Peter said, didn't he? He denied him. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. I don't know him." So Peter, just over 7 weeks ago, was there in that moment. And now we read of him proclaiming Jesus. Not that long ago, he was denying him. Now he's declaring him. Not that long ago, Peter had separated himself of even being associated with Jesus, but now he's aligning himself with Jesus. Not that long ago, he didn't want to speak up for Jesus. He wanted to more quieten the crowd, the little questions. And now he's raising his voice. Peter went from denying Jesus to a small crowd in a courtyard to now he's addressing a crowd that brought 3,000 to Jesus. There is this complete transformation in Peter. This complete change in him from denying Jesus to now proclaiming him and declaring him. So what happened? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. Just before he stood up, raised his voice, we read, don't we, of that Holy Spirit coming upon them. The Holy Spirit had poured out on Peter. The Holy Spirit gave him the power to stand up, to raise his voice, and to address the crowd. You know, over the weeks, as we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit, we've been looking at different things about how the Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Holy Spirit leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit purifies us, renews us. And this morning, we want to think about how the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And I want to just take us back to some words of Jesus before, just before all of this. So I'm going to flick to a few different verses if I can find them. And I want to just remind us of some of the words of Jesus. His final words, Matthew 28. And lots of these will be familiar to many of us, I'm sure. In Matthew 28, right at the end, we get from verse 18 where it says this, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I want to also jump to Luke. I'm going to do three different verses for us to look at. Luke 24, some more final words of Jesus, verses 46 to 49. Jesus says this, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And the last one, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I just wanted to share those few different verses about Jesus' words because he says, doesn't he, that they're to wait for the Holy Spirit who will give them power. Power for what? Power to do what they're called to do. Power to go and make disciples. That's what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do. Go make disciples. Power for the mission. Power for the task in hand. Power to be witnesses. We read of that in the words that Jesus says. He says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit gives power. He enabled the disciples and those first believers to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. To be a witness. The Holy Spirit empowers to be a witness. It's the same for us too. Just as that message was for those first believers, this message is also for us too. We are called to be witnesses to those around us, wherever God has placed us, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, with our friends, to our neighbours, if we're down the gym, if we're eating cake in the coffee shop, if we're whatever, doing your Zumba class, your Pilates, whatever it might be, wherever God has placed us, where we're serving in church, whether it's here at Kids Club on a Wednesday, whether it's serving the tea and coffee on a Thursday, wherever God's placed us, we're called to be witnesses. That what we say, what we do, how we behave and how we live our lives will reveal Jesus to those around us. In bearing witness, we will enable others to see God. It's so that others can see him and know Jesus for themselves. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, that feels a massive task. That's huge, isn't it? Jesus is going, yeah, we're called to be witnesses. We're called to go and make disciples. But this is the amazing, beautiful thing of this morning I want us to understand is that it seems a massive task, but Jesus did not expect the believers to do it on their own. He doesn't expect us to do it on our own strength, on our own ability. But he assures them, doesn't he? Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to give you the power that you need in order to be a witness. The Holy Spirit will give you the power you need to go and make disciples, wherever that is. I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit to do that. I need the Holy Spirit to do that. Do you know, these believers were just like us, ordinary people. They would have had their fears. They would have had their uncertainties. They would have had their doubts. They would have questioned their abilities. But Jesus just assures them that they don't need to rely on their own ability, but the Holy Spirit will enable them. Just as the Holy Spirit will enable us. When I was having a little look, the Greek word, apparently for power, is dunamis. Dunamis. I'm hoping I'm saying it correctly. I have no idea. Oh, look, I'm getting a thumbs up from someone. Brilliant. Must be right. Dunamis, which means strength, power, ability. But what I like about this word is that it actually is the root word of some of our English words. And those English words would be dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. Isn't that quite cool? Dynamite. Do you know, when we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not talking like this little trickle here, a little sprinkling. This is a pouring out of a dynamic, dynamite power. This is the power that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. And I really love that. This is the power that we are talking about. And you know, if I had time, we could just sit and read the whole of the book of Acts, but don't worry, we're not, okay? You might be thinking, no, we haven't got time for that. But can I encourage you, though, to go away? As I've just been preparing for this morning, I'm going, actually, I'm just going to sit this coming week and just take some time to just read this book. Let's just read this book of Acts, because we just read of the power that the Holy Spirit gives these believers. We read about them. The Holy Spirit just enables them to be that witness. We read of people coming to know Jesus. We read of the good news being spread. We read of miracles. We read of healings, prison doors being flung open. It is an amazing book to read. So can I encourage us? Let's read it. But I want to just really focus in particular about coming back again to this bit we start at the beginning with Peter, and his speech, his proclamation. Do you know, the Holy Spirit empowered Peter with a boldness to speak, with a confidence to proclaim Jesus. That's the kind of power the Holy Spirit wants to give us, a boldness and a confidence. And I love that you read that. As you read through Acts, you hear a lot of this boldness. I'm not going to read all the references, but even just chapter 4 is one that talks about boldness and talking about Peter and John, and they've faced a council and they've explained what's going on. And verse 13 says this, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. That's quite cool, isn't it? These ordinary men, no special training, but they had a boldness. This is the same for us. later on in the end of that chapter as well, the believers are gathered together again and they pray for this boldness, for this courage. At the end of chapter 4, it says, this is their prayer. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. And then it says at the end in verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit empowers us with a confidence and a boldness to speak. And this morning, I want us to think about us having a confidence and a boldness to speak about our Ebenezer moments. Okay, Ebenezer. I'm not talking about our Scrooge moments, okay? This isn't a, oh, Mary Jane, you want us to speak about when I'm a bit bar humbug? No, that's not what we're talking about. I want to talk about Ebenezer moments. And you might be familiar with this. This might be something new to you. It was something new to me that I discovered. Got quite excited when I read about this. We have to go back to the Old Testament to understand what I'm talking about with Ebenezer moments. And we go all the way back to 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. But this chapter, if you want to look at it and read it, it starts at the beginning. Samuel is leading the Israelites. And he's led the Israelites into a place of repentance. He said to them, you know, get rid of all your idols, all the things that you're worshipping. Brings them to that place, coming back to God. Then we get an account of the Philistines. And the Philistines come to attack. And from verse 10, it talks about how the Philistines arrive. And then this is what God does. It says, but the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day. And the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. So God gave them a victory. And then we read this. This is verse 12. This is the key verse. Caleb, I think, is going to be brilliant. Caleb, you're on it. It says here, Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer, not Scrooge, we're not thinking about that today. We're thinking about Ebenezer, a Hebrew word that means a stone of help. And I love this story. You know, God did so much for the Israelites. And so often, the Israelites just forgot. They were such a forgetful group of people. Probably sounds a bit familiar. We may be a bit like that. We forget, don't we? And I love this here because Samuel decides, I'm going to do something about this, and gets this stone. Okay, for those of you that saw me coming in this morning thinking, what is she doing? Hence, this is the stones. So Pete's on it already. Wonder, Pete, whether you might be able to. So I thought we need a stone. Now, I don't know what size this stone would have been. I reckon it would have been quite huge. Pete, if you're able to bring it, maybe just put it on the step here, would be awesome. I'm wondering if the other one might just go on, would it go on top to just build a little... Whichever combination you think works, you're the one doing it, so I don't mind. Whatever, I'm impressed, thank you. I'm going to stand over here because I don't... It might just go, I think... Yes, well done. Thank you, Pete. It's a round of applause to Pete. Round of applause to Pete. Now, I don't know, but I reckon this stone of Samuel would not have been this piddly little pebble, okay? We're talking a stone. I wonder, I don't know, maybe it was like massive, and I just... Those of you that know me know me well, I like a bit of a visual aid, okay? It's just good for us to focus here and just to think, here we go. Samuel put this stone and said to the Israelites, this is a stone, an Ebenezer stone. And he said, this is for us to remember. Every time we look at this, it's a symbol to remind us God has helped us. God has rescued us. God has given us victory. This became a reminder of God's faithfulness. This stone would have been a stone that the Israelites would have said to their children every time they seen it. They would have gone, oh, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that time that God gave us victory over the Philistines. God did this for us. God did this with us. They would have told their neighbors every time they saw that stone, let me tell you about this stone. This stone was all about... a reminder of how God had helped them to recount God's faithfulness. This stone was a witness to what God had done, a testimony of how he had helped. And this morning, I want to ask, what's your Ebenezer stone? What's your Ebenezer stone? What's your Ebenezer moment? This stone was about a moment when God did what only God could do. What are the moments in your life that are like the only God moments? Where you maybe look back and go, actually, that was God. We've heard it this morning already. Dave, thank you. Dave and Hayley this morning, they've shared their Ebenezer stone with us. They've shared their story of how God has helped them along the way, how God has been with them, how God has worked. Dave talked about the hope that God gave them. He's talked about clinging onto God. He's talked about God working in their lives. This morning, Dave has shown us their Ebenezer stone. It's been a witness of what God has done. And this morning, I just want us to think, our Ebenezer stones in our lives, our moments of a witness to those around us. They're a witness to who Jesus is. And I want to really encourage us that we would be people to share our Ebenezer moments. That we would be people to share those only God moments to others. And the beautiful thing of what we've looked at already this morning is you might sit there thinking, that seems really scary. But we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to empower each one of us with a boldness and a confidence, just like Peter, to be able to share our Ebenezer moments. We don't have to do it in our own ability. We don't have to do it in our own strength. You might think, but I'm not sure I've even got the words. That's okay. The Holy Spirit will give you the words at just the right time, in just the right way. A boldness to speak, a confidence to speak. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. He wants to fill us with that power to be a witness. How do we do that? He wants to give us a boldness and a confidence to speak about our Ebenezer stones, our Ebenezer moments. Do you know, Peter spoke to a crowd, didn't he? Doesn't need to be to a crowd. He wants to give us the boldness and confidence to speak to maybe the one that we're alongside at the gym. To speak to the one that we're sat having coffee and cake with. To speak to the one that might be out with our friends and we're sat together somewhere and we're just talking. Out for a walk with someone. At work, sat having our lunch. Whoever that might be. He wants to give us the boldness and the confidence. I need that. I don't know about anybody else. I wonder if you're the same. Do you know what? I look at Peter's confidence and go, wow, I wanna be like that. I wanna be able to sit with my friend as I'm eating my cake with them and be able to share my Ebenezer stone, my Ebenezer moment. Do you know, Peter's proclamation was powerful, not because it was him, but because it was about Jesus. In what we read in Acts, he was proclaiming Jesus. He was saying, this is what Jesus has done, and I bear witness to that. I've seen it. This is who he is. Do you know, our Ebenezer moments are powerful to share, not because of us, but because they're about God. They're about bearing witness to Jesus. My prayer this morning for myself, and I wonder if this might be a prayer that you would want to join with me. My prayer is, Holy Spirit, fill me with confidence and boldness to speak about my Ebenezer moments. to be a witness. I wonder whether that's your prayer as well. That's mine. That is so my prayer, my heart this morning, for me, for all of us, that we'll be that kind of church, that we will speak, that we will speak with boldness and confidence. And you know, we're going to take a moment to just respond. I wonder, as I've been talking, some of you might be sat there going, oh yeah, this is my Ebenezer stone, this is my moment. Maybe you're there going, oh, I'm not too sure. I'm just going to say now, Holy Spirit, remind us, because we're forgetful like those Israelites. Remind us of those moments. Remind us of where God, you've done the work. You've done the work. I'm going to ask if the band can come on up and they're going to start playing. And I want to just allow a bit of a moment to just respond to this. And I have got as well, we've got our stone and I've got some post-it notes. And I'm going to get some pens. In fact, I might ask Pete if you could help me again. I'm just rearranging the whole of everything up here. I wonder if we could maybe just have one at maybe each end of the stones. Is that all right? Because I just want to allow a bit of time. The band are going to play. And I just this morning just want to allow a bit of time for us to think about what are your Ebenezer moments? What would be your stone? And I've got some post-it notes down here. I've got some just down here actually, Pete, but you feel free to put them on the table for me if you want. Thank you. I swear I need about 5 pairs of hands. And you might want to take a post-it note and write a word that represents your Ebenezer moment. I've been thinking about my own. Can I say me standing here is an Ebenezer moment? Only God has got me doing what I'm doing now. Those of you that know my story, I left teaching. Like, I never thought I'd ever leave teaching and be part of leading a church. Like, I marvel at God so often. And I go, God, I can't quite believe that you have me here. And I don't know how, but it's only God. Along the way, our story is a story of provision. Like, I came out of teaching. Oh, God has provided massively. I'm not going to go through all my moments now, but I might on here write provision as a word that represents one of my Ebenezer moments. But the invitation is that you might want to come, you might want to just write a word that represents, and then come and stick it on the stone or around the stone. Stones aren't very good at post-it sticking to it. But you might want to come and just stick it on, and almost it's a way of saying, yeah, this is my Ebenezer stone, and you're saying, in agreement to what I said earlier about that prayer, you're saying, Holy Spirit, fill me with power, fill me with a boldness and a confidence to speak about my Ebenezer moment. It's a way of an act of just saying, yeah, actually, I want to be able to do this. And you might be there thinking, oh, but I'm just me, that's okay. The Holy Spirit, it will enable you, will empower you. This is a way of us just saying, yeah, Holy Spirit, give me the boldness, give me the confidence, because I want to speak out about my Ebenezer stone. Doesn't have to be to the crowds, but just to the one. Just to the one. So whilst the band are playing and leading us, and they might sing, if you want to come, there's no pressure at all. But if you feel like, actually, I want to do this, you might want to come and grab a post-it, grab some pens, write a word on your post-it and stick it on the stone as you're always saying, yeah, Holy Spirit, come and fill me with boldness, fill me with confidence so that I can speak about my Ebenezer moment.